Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Justin Garcia. Justin is the host for the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network and WTMJ AM 620 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. On the program, we discuss the latest happenings with the Milwaukee Bucks, including Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and so much more. Justin is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
Global business consulting solutions for a constantly transforming world, that's Protiviti. Flexible, results-driven, and committed to you, that's Protiviti. Custom solutions shaped for your company's unique needs, that's Protiviti. Protiviti helps more than 70% of the Fortune 1000 run better today and change for tomorrow. Learn more at Protiviti.com/shape. That's Protiviti.com/shape.
When so much of life is about the big moments, it's the details in the all-new 2022 Grand Wagoneer that makes the small moments truly special. Take joy in American premium design with available walnut trims and technology, like the available 23-speaker Macintosh reference entertainment system, and with seating for up to 8, no detail is overlooked, because it's the details that make every journey grand. The Grand Wagoneer, Grand Adventures Return. Wagoneer is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
Socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters. Underwear is the second, shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.
Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
When so much of life is about the big moments, it's the details in the all-new 2022 Grand Wagoneer that makes the small moments truly special. Take joy in American premium design with available walnut trims and technology, like the available 23-speaker Macintosh reference entertainment system, and with seating for up to 8, no detail is overlooked, because it's the details that make every journey grand. The Grand Wagoneer, Grand Adventures Return. Wagoneer is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
He has hurt the Bucks.
And a lob play from possession, and Giannis throws it down.
Gallinari, that one really now.
The thing with Trae Young, is he going to do the lob pass, or is he going to do the floating shot? There's Giannis just muscling his way, willing his way in for two, if you will.
But watch the matchup here. Gallinari stuck on the backside, and you know, he's trying to do everything within his power. Gallinari had to give after the initial contact. He was pushed back about 3 feet.
Backdoor look again. Oh, wow, Giannis. My goodness, Giannis.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin with Lisa Byatton, Stephen Bardot, and Marcus Johnson on the call as the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Atlanta Hawks on March the 9th of 2022. And the two-time league MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, scoring 43 points. To talk more about the current happenings with the Bucks, also Giannis and some other key players on the Bucks squad, we want to welcome him to the program. He is the studio host for the Milwaukee Bucks. We want to welcome him to the program, Justin Garcia. Justin, welcome to the program.
How's it going, Ed?
All is well, sir. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. We're going to talk more and get more deep into Giannis in just a little bit. But right now, Justin, currently the Bucks are on a six-game winning streak. What do you attribute the winning streak to?
I guess a couple of things. Their defense has been a lot better. They've been rebounding the ball, which was really a huge problem for them for most of the season with no Brooke Lopez and guys in and out of the lineup. So they've been better on the glass. They've limited their turnovers, too, which has been a real big problem for one stretch when the Bucks were really kind of in their struggles. In January, they were 7-8. First time they played a full month and had a losing record under Coach Budenholzer. Turnovers and rebounding were big issues there. The defense has made some growth here. It's still not quite to the level we've seen the last couple of years, but that goes back to the absence of Brooke Lopez. And Coach Budenholzer has pointed out they've made some strides defensively. They're still not where they want to be, but they're improving there. So I think those three things have been huge for the team lately. But also since February 1st, their big three of Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday have all been fantastic. I mean, Chris Middleton just had a 44-point game against the Suns and scored 27 in the second half. Giannis is averaging almost 32 points a game since February 1st. All three of those players are over 20% and at a high efficiency, too. So they're cleaning up some of the areas that were big problems, and their main three guys have played like all-stars for the last month and a half.
All right. I want to talk now about this one player that was so crucial to the championship run for the Bucks last season, and he's been crucial this whole season, particularly during this current winning streak that the Bucks are on, and that's Bobby Portis. You mentioned, Justin, that the Bucks have gotten better during this current stretch due to their rebounding. Bobby Portis has been one of my favorite players on the Bucks for quite some time now, not just because of his rebounding, but man, what a terrific shooter he is. Give me your thoughts on Bobby and his play this season.
Yeah, you're not alone. He is probably the favorite player for every single Bucks fan not named Giannis. We saw last year. He's been incredible. And, you know, last year especially, he spent a lot of time talking about some of the personal growth and changes he made in his life and ways that he just dedicated himself to basketball. And he talked about, you know, going from March until the season started last year, so 9 months, without basketball. He was on the Knicks. They weren't a part of the bubble in Orlando. And he talked about how much he just missed that and realized, I got to do everything I can to become a better player and recommit. He spent countless hours over that offseason in the gym working on his shooting. And that was never a weakness, as you know, prior to last year. But it really made some strides last year. And, you know, defense was always kind of a knock on Bobby Portis in Chicago, in New York, and in D.C. And he's made significant strides there the last 2 years. He even joked about it after they won the championship of, look, you can't knock me and say I don't play defense anymore, that he's given them some of those things. And, you know, the mixture of Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez last year was so big for this team, and P.J. Tucker for that matter, because it allowed them to play a number of different ways. That, you know, Brook Lopez is your rim protector, and that's how the Bucks defense is built, is take away the shots at the rim, force the opponent into long jumpers. But we saw in a couple of series it was difficult for Brook to stay out there when it became a perimeter-based game. Not that he couldn't do it, but in stretches he would struggle with it. And that's where Bobby Portis kind of picked up the slack, that he's really good defending out on the perimeter. You can switch with him, and he just has that length and disrupts screens very well. So he's made some significant strides there. As you pointed to, he's always been a good rebounder throughout his career. But this year especially, it's gone up another level as well for Bobby Portis. I think what jumps out the most, though, is the shooting numbers that he's put up this year. That last year was basically a career year for Bobby Portis. And if we go back to, the weekend of Thanksgiving or week after when free agency began for last season, you would be hard-pressed to find anyone that thought the Bucks made a good move signing Bobby Portis that early into free agency and using one of their exceptions on him, that it was pretty much viewed as a bad signing or one that didn't carry any significance. And he ended up shooting better than 50% from the field, the career high. He was 47% on threes. And coming into this season, you saw, okay, he's basically rehabbed his career. He took a pay cut to stay here in Milwaukee just because he said, this is the place where I found the most success. I won a championship. I love everything about it here. The fans absolutely love him here in Milwaukee. So he wanted to be here and be a part of what they were doing. But I think when he did make that signing, you know, everybody thought, great, we got, I'm not going to say as much as you could out of Bobby last year, but we got a significant amount out of him. If there is a little bit of a decline, that's understandable. He had a career year last year. But there's been no real decline. He's still near 50% from the field. He's still a 42% three-point shooter, which is the second best he's been in his career, only behind last year. He's just given you that consistency, and it's been everything that Brook Lopez did to help this team early when he was a stretch five that was taking threes and making them. That freed everything up and opened up the middle of the floor for Giannis. We saw a little bit of a decline from Brook, but you still had the defense. Bobby Portis has been even better. So, you know, this offense, I talked about the struggles that the defense have had. The offense has been even better than it was last year, and this was the best offense in franchise history a season ago. This year the offense hasn't been a problem because Bobby is still at that elite level. I talked about what Giannis, Chris, and Drew have been doing, and a guy like Grayson Allen, too. They have a lot of floor spacing, and Bobby Portis is really the biggest reason for that, that he just frees everything up down low for Giannis. And yeah, as you pointed to, he's also been huge for this turnaround in rebounding that we've seen from this team for the last month and a half.
Wesley Matthews. Wesley is somebody that does his thing in the backcourt, providing the shooting. Give me your thoughts on Wesley and his play this year.
Yeah, he's interesting because Bucks fans obviously familiar with him, being from the area here and having played at Marquette and played for the Bucks a couple of years ago. But Wesley Matthews, you know, he's one of those guys that I talked about the defense not quite being to the level you expected. The defense is what keeps you on the floor under Coach Budenholzer. So we've seen prior to the current issue that he's dealing with, George Hill, a guy that has that trust because of his defensive ability and being a veteran, that George Hill has been in the closing lineup at times. When the Bucks brought in Wesley Matthews right around the same time that they added DeMarcus Cousins, They opted to keep Wesley Matthews for the remainder of the season and not the case for DeMarcus Cousins because of that defense and because he knows the system. Early on, we saw him utilized a kind of similar role to how they used P.J. Tucker last year, where he would defend mostly twos and threes, and you could use him on some fours. But we've really seen a couple of instances where, you know, you can't really look at the stats for Wesley Matthews and gauge how effective or how good he was, because offense, it's never been Wesley Matthews' strong suit since the injuries. He's out there because of his IQ that he has and the defense that he brings. And, you know, over the weekend or during this win streak, Wesley Matthews has had some pretty big performances for the team, and it's not statistically driven. It's just been out there in those clutch situations and closing things out because of the defense that he brings. Against the Bulls, Wesley Matthews was a guy that was one of your closers. Against the Miami Heat, he played nearly the entire fourth quarter, ended up scoring 5 points in the game, and in both of those two games I referenced, he was big defensively. He scored 12 total points. So, you know, it's kind of similar to what the Bucks got from P.J. Tucker, where he's a guy that can hit corner threes. You don't expect much more than 5 to 6 points from him, but he just knows where to be defensively. He knows this system. He has familiarity with all of the guys from his 1 year here in Milwaukee prior to that. And again, veterans and guys that play defense, those are the ones that win the trust of Coach Budenholzer. Wesley Matthews certainly has that. So he's a guy that, you know, I think they really missed last year. I know P.J. Tucker has been comped a lot from me here in the last couple of seconds, but P.J. Tucker could do some other things where he could defend fours and fives. Wesley Matthews can't really do that. It depends on the situation. He can't defend fives. He can take some fours, but they didn't really have a lot on the perimeter last year. I know Bucks fans have kind of talked about, well, the team is probably deeper than they were a season ago, and you know it actually is. It's hard to see it now because of the injuries that this team continues to deal with, but last year was a very thin team, and it was basically the success was driven by those three guys of Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday, and P.J. Tucker was certainly a big part of that as well. But when you look at the minutes that were doled out to guys in the postseason, it wasn't a very deep squad. Dante DiVincenzo going down certainly helped or hurt, I should say, with that as well. But it was basically Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton coming off the bench. Even Bobby in a couple of series, it was tough. The three games he didn't play in the series against the Brooklyn Nets. Minutes were kind of limited against the Atlanta Hawks as well. Brian Forbes didn't play much in the NBA Finals, certainly, but he kind of had to pick his spots, didn't play much against the Nets. So we were talking about basically a lineup that was seven deep. This year, Grayson Allen is a guy that adds to some of that depth and a guy that we know can play in the postseason and has played in the postseason. That wasn't the case with Brian Forbes. You have Bobby Portis. It sounds like it's not going to be a matter of if, but it's going to be when, and when is sounding relatively soon for Brooke Lopez and his return. Wesley Matthews, another guy. You didn't have that secondary or tertiary guy on the perimeter last year, and now you have that in George Hill. So they got a lot of options this year where the toughest decision is going to be who doesn't play. Assuming this team gets healthy, who doesn't play in the postseason, whereas last year, there were moments, and the Bucks were able to come through in the end and win the series, but there were moments where it was, if you had foul trouble, if a guy went down, who is going to play? And we saw guys really have to step up and get some minutes. Elijah Bryant had to play some minutes in the postseason for the Bucks last year. Jeff Teague had to play some big minutes as well. So they have the luxury they didn't have last year. The big if is, can they get healthy and up to speed before the postseason? Assuming that happens, the Wesley Matthews gives you another dimension you didn't have last year when you were still able to win the NBA championship.
All right, I want to move along now to somebody who's been one of my favorite players since he's entered the league, and that's Drew Holiday. Oh, man. Drew, of course, we know about the trade that had happened a couple of years back, coming from being brought over from New Orleans, coming to Milwaukee, and then the bubble season with Milwaukee, and then last season being a part of the championship run. When I think of Drew Holiday, I think of someone that's a solid shooter, someone that's a great rebounder to be a point guard. And his defense, I mean, one of the premier defenders in the league. Give me your thoughts on Drew and how his season has gone so far.
Yeah, it's funny that it was kind of the talking point last year when Drew Holiday arrived that we all knew that Drew was a good player, and I think if Drew Holiday was playing in the Eastern Conference the duration of his career, he would be viewed a lot higher because he was running up against some walls in the West. When you look at the backcourt, he was a one-time All-Star. That came in the East. And I think people kind of held that against him, where it was easy to forget, hey, this guy's out here and he's pretty good, because he wasn't making All-Star teams and the Pelicans weren't a very successful team. So you heard all along, Drew's maybe the most underrated player in the league, and his peers would say that as well. It's a conversation Chris Middleton is in too. But this year, we saw what he's capable of doing last year. It took a little bit of time, where it was around going into the All-Star break. Drew had just returned from health and safety protocols, and he started to piece together some big games. But the final game before the break, he had a great game against the Memphis Grizzlies and hit the game-winning shot going into the break. He was a totally different guy from that point forward. And he talked about, look, it just took me some time to get comfortable with my teammates, to figure out what it is they need from me. And part of it, too, was just, I don't want to step on toes here. I'm the new guy. I don't want to come in and take shots that would go to Giannis or Chris or whoever on this team. And he had said that Bud and Giannis and Chris and the other guys on the team kind of pulled him aside and said, look, don't worry about offending. Like, we need you to be aggressive and take some of these shots. And he was a totally different guy after the All-Star break and in the playoffs. This year, I think with he and Chris Middleton, in the back of your mind, you were kind of curious of, it's a really short offseason, the shortest they've ever had, to play all the way until July 20th, get back on a normal calendar here. So that means open gym and training camp is starting the final week of September. So you got 2 months here. In between those dates, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton played in the Olympics. So you wondered, are we going to see any lag, or are we going to see any dead legs or anything from Chris and Drew, and is it going to take some time? I think with both guys, we've seen a couple of stretches where fatigue is probably in there, but as I mentioned, from February 1st, both of these guys have been fantastic. Drew Holiday, everybody here was, obviously we think Chris Middleton is a deserving All-Star, but when Chris Middleton got the All-Star bid this year, there was a little bit of surprise because Drew Holiday had been the second best player on this team for most of the season, that it felt like this was the year Drew was finally going to get back into the All-Star game. But it's funny that, the last couple of years when opposing teams will come through and we get a chance to listen to him speak before the game, a lot of the questions centered on Giannis, and they would ask Bud about, what did you learn from Giannis? And when we would listen to opposing coaches talk about the matchup tonight, it was how we got to slow down Giannis. This year, almost immediately from the start, all or most of the questions seemed to be about Drew Holiday, that you would ask Bud if you're from an opposing market, well, what surprised you the most about Drew, or how important is Drew to this team? And hearing opposing coaches talk about Drew Holiday, you really understand why everybody says, if you didn't watch him as much as Bucks fans and certainly me and everybody else in my spots had a chance to last year, you understand why he's viewed the way he is when you listen to opposing coaches talk about him. That Steve Nash talked for 4 or 5 minutes about everything that Drew Holiday does defensively and why it's so tough to prepare for him. You may not see all of it in the stat sheet, but he can blow up sets and actions, and you don't even notice it because you're watching the ball. Just the other day, Nate McMillan, when the Hawks were here, talked about, how difficult it is to go up against him because of his strength and how he can defend multiple positions. Monty Williams of the Suns was here the other day and kind of said the same thing, and he had a chance to coach Drew and has known him for a while, that it just goes under the radar of the strength that he has, defensive IQ that he has too. But I think what's really been most noticeable, we knew he was a good defender, but to see how good his offense is what surprised me the most. And he can use both hands. He'll never say it, but he is definitely naturally a lefty. That's the dominant hand that he uses a lot. I think he's still listed as right-handed, but he can use both hands so smooth. And, just the other night, Nate McMillan said, what's so difficult about this Bucks team, and you have to really give credit to Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, Giannis gets all the attention, and we know how great he is, and teams try to double-team him. But Giannis has made some adjustments to his game. It's difficult to double-team him. You can't double-team Drew Holiday, as Nate McMillan said. He's just too strong. If you put one guy on him, he's going to bully him into the post. if you try to double him, he's such a great passer that he's going to find the open guy. And it's usually a teammate going to the corner or cutting to the basket. He just constantly knows where to be. And he just has this calming presence that, as ugly as things can look, you think back to a couple of games last year against the Nets, game 7 in Brooklyn, he had a brutal first through third quarter where it was ugly, single-digit points that he had scored, some turnovers, an ugly shooting line. But in the fourth quarter, he hit two of the biggest shots of the game. And he has that ability to just kind of wipe away what's happened. And in the clutch is when he comes up biggest. You think about game 7. You think about that rip steal on Devin Booker and the lob to Giannis in game 5 of the NBA Finals. He just has a knack for playing at his best when the moments are elevated. And he's just so smooth that he doesn't let anything get to him, even if he's struggling. He's one of the guys now that, you know, there is no go-to guy with this Bucks team. You trust Drew Holiday taking the shot or making the play down the stretch. You trust Chris Middleton doing it, and you trust Giannis doing it, and that's ultimately what makes this offense so difficult to defend.
Yeah, and speaking of, you mentioned his name, I want to talk now about Chris Middleton. Man, since he's been in Milwaukee, I think he has just been phenomenal. Again, so underrated, as you mentioned, alongside Drew Holiday, would win an Olympic gold medal this past summer in Tokyo. And Chris is, you know, 6'7", 222, and he's a guy that is your typical, well, I won't say your typical small forward, because he's somebody that's got, I mean, his range is out of this world. His range is unlimited. A solid rebounder. I mean, he's definitely somebody that is the opposite to Giannis. Just give me your thoughts on Chris and his season so far.
Yeah, he does so much for this team. I'm glad you brought him up. That, you know, we've seen him play the two for the Bucks, where they can go ultra big, and Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday as your backcourt. He's really their best playmaker. I know we just talked about Drew Holiday and finding the open guy, but Chris Middleton, I think everybody on the staff would tell you he's their best playmaker. I know we pay a lot of attention to Giannis, and he's a point center, and he can handle the ball and play point guard at times, and that's true. But Chris Middleton's their best passer. He's just such a great guy in terms of reading the floor and seeing where those plays are. He's come under fire in the past for some turnovers and things of that nature. But it goes back to the clutch and what we said about Drew Holiday, you know, the other night against the Hawks. He had 6 assists and no turnovers in the second quarter or by halftime. And 5 of those assists came in the second quarter. It was a two-man game between he and Giannis where – he just has that natural connection with Giannis from all their years together of knowing where the other guy is going to be. And, you know, I talked about how difficult it is to defend this offense. Nate McMillan on Wednesday night before the game talked at length about Chris Middleton and said, you know, he's just such a mature scorer. And the quote that he used was, he's a throwback to the scorers that played back when I was in the NBA. It just comes so easy for him. And was adamant, he is definitely one of the best scorers in the league right now. And that was on the heels of a 44-point game against the Phoenix Suns. But, you know, we've seen he can play 2 through 4. You can't match up shooting guards on him because Chris Middleton has that height advantage, the length that you just pointed out. And when he gets a guy smaller than him defending him, he's just able to get to his spots, get to the baseline, and get a jump shot up over him with so much ease. And when he gets into his spots, it's like he doesn't miss. So when you watch Chris Middleton, I would say pay attention to the playmaking and the way he reads the floor. And his footwork is another thing that every coach that comes through, when they talk about Chris Middleton, they rave about his footwork. And Chris has talked about this too, that Kobe was one of the guys that he looked up to as, you know, probably 90% of the league at this point. But he had a chance to spend some time with Kobe on a couple of occasions and kind of pick his brain. And the one thing he took from him was footwork and, you know, knowing where you need to be placed and how to get to those spots to get your shot off. It all revolves around the footwork. And that is probably the best part of Chris Middleton's game.
I mean, Chris is just such a phenomenal player. I enjoy watching. I've been enjoying watching him since he's been in Milwaukee, causing a lot of matchup problems. I mean, with his size and playing away from the basket and with his outside shooting is definitely phenomenal. And, you know, Giannis, what can you say about him? He's a two-time league MVP, a defensive player of the year, multiple all-star NBA champion. I mean, what can you say about him? This is a two-part question. First question is, what's your thoughts on how he's played this year? And my second question is, in your opinion, what are the biggest differences from this year as opposed to last year?
So I'll start with the second part. I think the biggest difference is it's just how he approaches offense. And we started to notice this really in that series against the Nets, where when the Bucks fell down 2-0, you know, it looked ugly. And the game two loss, they were down by 50 at one point in that game. That you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that thought the Bucks could still win that series. But from that point forward, Giannis really changed how he played offensively, and it was no longer the freewheeling guy that plays out there on the perimeter and is initiating the offense. They were very careful about where they got him the ball and how they got him to his spots, and he started to play more like a traditional big. And as tantalizing as it is to have Giannis handling the ball and playing point at times and playing out in the perimeter and taking some long twos and threes, he's made some strides in those parts of his game. But ultimately it boils down to the comparisons that he often draws are to Shaq. And he really is the modern-day Shaq, that if he gets the ball in the post, he's going to score. And from game three onward against the Nets last year and through the remainder of the postseason, he embraced that I got to play in the post. And I know this is my spot. I got to figure out how to get there and, you know, not worry about charges. We're a big issue. And teams starting to build a wall, you couldn't do that as much anymore the way that he was playing, because he wasn't starting at the key or starting at half court and attacking downhill. He was getting down there. He wasn't bringing the ball up the floor. Chris or Drew were doing it, and he was getting the ball in his spot. So the biggest change you've noticed is he's played more of a traditional center here, and he's been dominant when he gets to his spot. He's still shooting an insane percentage on twos and at the rim. And he's made some subtle adjustments, too, where he's added a turnaround jumper. He started to add a little bit of a baby hook as well, that it's not just, okay, Giannis is just dunking and getting layups at the rim. He's doing things like that, and he's referenced guys like Hakeem Olajuwon that he studied film on and said, I know these are some of the things I have to add. He's gotten a lot more comfortable with that. He's taken the most mid-range shots of any year in his career this year. He's shooting the highest percentage in those. So these are all things that for years people said, yeah, but he has to do this and have more of a well-rounded game. And, you know, I don't think it's the finished product yet, but it's the best we've seen from him. So that's been huge in developing that Bucks offense and, again, keeping that spacing there. As far as this year, I really think this is probably the best we have seen Giannis play. And, you know, for the longest time, we here would talk about, well, look at what Giannis does every year. And the first, I believe, 6 or 7 years in his career, every single statistical category improved year after year. What he's done the last 4 years, it's just incredible to think about when he came in the league and what he came in as this really raw, unfinished product nobody knew a whole lot about, just some guy that was really tall from Greece, played against inferior competition. Let's take a flyer on him as the 15th overall pick. You started to see some subtle signs of growth early on those first 2 years. And then it was around the 15-16 year where you thought, you know, this guy could be an all-star. And it was a year later that he did become an all-star and the most improved player in the league. And then he just started to take these massive leaps year by year, where it was the 2017-18 season, he averaged 27 points a game. And you left that year thinking, this guy keeps getting so much better. He's going to be an all-star every year. Can we start to have, is he one of the best in the league? Is he a perennial all-NBA type of player? And from 18-19 onward, as soon as Coach Mike Budenholzer arrived and knew how to put him in the best spots, he has been one of the 3 to 5 best players in the league year by year. But this year, it's been the best we've seen from him. The scoring average, obviously the highest in his career, at 29.7. He's tied with Joel Embiid. But the way he's scoring is what's most impressive to me, and some of the things we referenced there of finding the spots, figuring out how to get to those spots, scoring from different areas of the floor. If you look at his shooting chart, it's not just at the rim. It's everywhere that he's getting this. But what's most impressive to me is he's done this when the Bucks have asked him to play center for a majority of the season. And coming into the year, you know, we all salivated over the playoffs where Giannis closed out games as the five for the Bucks, and that really made them go. I was kind of skeptical and hesitant, and I think a lot of people were, of this works in the playoffs. You don't want to do it throughout the regular season because it's 82 games of wear and tear of having Giannis go up against bigger guys. You still need a guy like Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis to take some of that off him, but he's had to do it out of necessity this year, and it was in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. It's either going to be he or Rudy Gobert. I think everybody would tell you Giannis is the best help defender in the league at this point, that his ability to come over on the weak side and be a secondary rim protector and get those block shots and steals and create fast break opportunities. We've seen him at times, too, defend guys on the perimeter, that everything he brings to this team, they've needed it this year more than ever before with the injuries and, you know, no traditional big man in Brooke Lopez. And he's turned in the best season he's had in his career with the production and the scoring that he's had, defensive metrics that he's had, just the efficiency as well. He's, oh, by the way, become a much more consistent free throw shooter, too, where he's hovering around 75% this year. And it seems like a lifetime ago that fans in opposing arenas were counting and trying to get into his head. He's been consistent, especially in the fourth quarter. So this is the best year I've seen from him. I know he's in the MVP discussion and the Defensive Player of the Year. I ultimately don't think he'll get either of those, but it just, you know, these 4 years to be all-NBA perennially, a two-time MVP, an NBA champion, a finals MVP, a Defensive Player of the Year, and he's showing no signs of slowing down. One of the numbers we've kept an eye on here, we knew it was going to happen at some point, but I think a lot of people thought, okay, sometime next year this will happen. He's just over 200 points away from passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in a Bucks uniform. And I know Kareem only played 5 years here in Milwaukee. This is year number 9 for Giannis. But, again, those first 2 years, he was very raw and an unfinished product. Didn't play a whole lot of minutes his rookie year. Kareem played more than 40 minutes a game in those 5 years in Milwaukee and scored more than 30 points. So that's why Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in just 5 years is the franchise-leading scorer. Giannis is going to pass him this year, and it's probably going to be by the end of this month, which none of us saw coming prior to tip-off of this season. And that just speaks to how terrific he's been. And back to the Chris Middleton thing, too, you know, those two guys have been the guys that have really turned everything around for the Bucks. Chris Middleton was a throw-in in a trade that sent Brandon Jennings to the Pistons for Brandon Knight. And, oh, by the way, we'll give you Chris Middleton, too. He's become one of the best players in the league. Giannis is going to pass Kareem for the franchise scoring lead. Chris Middleton, by the time next year ends, is going to be third on that list behind only Giannis and Glenn Robinson. So, those two guys have really been the reason for all this success that the Bucks have had really since the 15-16 season. We've seen the sustained success the last 4 years, but it's all because of those two guys. And, you know, these are going to end up being two of the greatest, if not the two greatest, players in franchise history.
It appears to be shaping up that way. I want to get back to Giannis and Chris as well as Drew in just a moment, but I want to stay with Giannis for a moment. You mentioned about the first several years, very raw being drafted out of Greece. His competition was not that great, but also not only was the athletic side a learning curve, but also the cultural side was a big learning curve for him. I know that he says that, I know from time to time on social media, he will post about American foods that he's tried for the first time with things that he really enjoys eating. I know he mentioned at the end of the championship parade, he went and ordered, I think, a 50-piece from Chick-fil-A or something like that. How has Giannis adapted, in your opinion, not just to American culture, but how has he adapted to life in Milwaukee?
I think it's perfect for him. And, you know, it's funny of the whole adapting thing. He has adapted and assimilated well, but I think that's because he hasn't changed. You know, he's brought all of his values here. He still lives with his brother, and his mother lives with them, and his partner as well, and their two kids. They all live together in the same house, and he is so family-oriented. I mean, Thanasis obviously being his teammate for the last few years, but after every game when everything starts to clear out and players are coming through, if they have friends or family in town, you'll see players out on the court. After every game, it's always Giannis, Thanasis, Giannis's girlfriend, their kids, or his mom out on the court together taking pictures, and you see Giannis on social media too. That's the group that he hangs out with. He doesn't have a posse. He has his agent that he's very tight with, that is one of the guys that helped him assimilate here and adjust to the culture in America. He's a loyal guy, and he surrounds himself with family and the people that have helped him the most. He was just, so naive, I guess would be the way to put it, when he came over here, that he didn't know anything about American culture. He only knew about the NBA, and he's talked about watching Kobe and Allen Iverson. That's basically what he knew about America. He had the famous tweet of, just had a smoothie for the first time, God bless America, in his rookie year. And there's stories, too, around here of people that ran into Giannis. And a famous one that I think Marin Fader told in her book, too, that we had all heard for years of, it would be the wintertime. Giannis didn't have a winter coat. He was from Greece. He didn't know it got this cold in Wisconsin. And he would be walking to the practice facility or walking to the arena from the apartment he was staying in. And you'd be driving down the street and see this 6'10", 6'11" guy walking down the street in a T-shirt and sweatpants in the middle of winter and think, what's going on here? And you pull up and see it's Giannis and a number of fans. Hey, do you need a ride to the arena? That's just the type of guy that he's been. And, obviously the values here in the Midwest and in Wisconsin, where it's very blue-collar, it's very much that, loyalty and people that surround themselves with that core group and their family. I think that's part of why everybody here has embraced Giannis so much, too, that he represents everything this area stands for, and he's just been a perfect match. And you see, this is a guy that puts in the work every single year in the off season, surrounds himself with the right people, and just stands for everything and represents everything that this team, I know, wants to put out there as well, and this state and this whole region. And I think it's just been such a perfect fit. And all the concern, too, last year over what's going to happen with Giannis's future, I think we all kind of heard similar stories from people within the organization. There wasn't a whole lot of concern that he was going to leave, because Giannis concerns himself with winning and loyalty, and he wanted to be loyal to the organization. This is an organization that, one, really taught him everything about this culture and this country, and helped him grow as an individual and as a basketball player. The organization played a big part as well in previous owner Herb Cole in bringing his family over here and helping them out with their visas and getting Giannis that support system. And, he spent time at length in years prior talking about his loyalty to the organization, and he'll never forget how they helped him out there. John Hammond, who's no longer here and running the Orlando Magic, is a guy that Giannis has a tremendous amount of respect and loyalty for as well, that he's a guy he points to that helped him out quite a bit. But I think what tells you all you need to know about Giannis is those guys have helped him. He's never forgotten that. But he's also never forgotten, people that are on a smaller level, too, of, ball boys and tape coordinators that have had to work with him and show him things and just spend time with him his first 2 years in the league when he didn't know much. He didn't know how to get food or how to do his laundry or any of that. He just didn't want to be alone, away, so far away from his family and friends, that those were the guys that spent time with him, and he's repaid them with loyalty and taking care of them. So, I think, like I said at the top, he's just such a perfect fit for this region and this area, and I think that's why he is by far the most beloved athlete that we've had here in quite some time. I mean, you would have to, as many good athletes have come through Wisconsin and Milwaukee, we've had Christian Yelich and Ryan Braun of the Brewers winning MVPs, and they were revered. Brett Favre and currently Aaron Rodgers, also MVPs that were revered at times by the fans here. But I really think he's on a level with a Bart Starr, who is just universally beloved by the entire state and the fan base. It's been since then, and that was in the 60s, that you had somebody like that. That Giannis is at that level, that I think it's Giannis and Bart Starr, the two guys in the last 100 years that this state has just embraced and loved as much as they have because of those values. And because, like I said, Giannis hasn't changed. He's been the same guy, and he's figured out how to adapt and bring his values here to this organization and to the state and area. And you just found, it's a perfect match. As much as it's easy to say, man, he just really fits. He really does, with the way he carries himself, everything he stands for, and how this region wants to be projected and carry themselves Giannis is the perfect guy. You talk about LeBron and the fit in Cleveland when he arrived, once-in-a-lifetime thing. Giannis and the person he is, it truly is a once-in-a-lifetime type of fit to get him here in this area with this team.
I indeed agree with you on all of those levels. Giannis really seems right at home in Milwaukee, and the way that city is blue-collar, those Midwestern values, he definitely epitomizes that. And I want to stay just with Giannis and just with that learning curve that he's had and adjusting from life in Greece to life in America. Again, he mentioned about the Twitter the message that he posted on social media saying that he tried a smoothie for the first time. God bless America. And, of course, with the Chick-fil-A nuggets and stuff, what are some of his favorite foods that he's enjoyed in America so far?
Obviously the smoothie, and it's still a joke that people will occasionally bring up with him at press conferences. The 50-piece chicken nuggets at Chick-fil-A is another thing that he's joked about it throughout the year. But we've also seen Giannis quite a bit with chicken wings and press conferences where he'll talk about that. But it's really smoothies is the one thing that you see him with the most after games. And that's part of the whole training thing with this organization too. But it's really smoothies and the 50-piece that are the talking points for him the most. I think to go off the last point too, you know, we only know so much about him, and that's by design. It's not in an arrogant way that, you know, he keeps his tight friends and his family close, that we know those things, the surface level things. And that's, I think, another thing that endears people to Giannis of like, this is my personal life. And that's separate. Even when he posts pictures of his children, he blurs out the face of, I don't want to put my kids in that spotlight. And I think that's another thing that people really relate to. And like, yeah, you know, I like the way he goes about that. So we know, you know, only the surface level things about him, and that's by design. But the one thing that's been noticeable is, you know, just from being in this area for as long as I have and, you know, having friends and colleagues on different beats with the Brewers and with the Packers that have gotten a chance to know some of those guys that I referenced, like Ryan Braun and currently Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. And when you talk about guys that get to that level, you would hear the same thing every time that you would have those discussions of he was so great early on and, you know, I hope he never changes. Or early on, he was so great and accessible. And then things started to change when success came and he really walled himself up. That hasn't been the case with Giannis. Not that he's a super accessible guy, but you understand, too, once you get to the level of finals MVP, two-time MVP, you're not going to have Giannis for 30-minute discussions after every game and things of that nature. But everybody that's had a chance to be around him and get to know him professionally here, I don't think you'll find anybody that tells you otherwise, that he has been the same guy throughout. And that is just such a rarity that once you experience that success, it starts to change you. Even if you don't want it to, it does. And with Giannis, it really hasn't, that he's stayed the same guy. And I think part of that is that support system talked about earlier, that all of these things he does for Nike and any spots he does, some of the advertisements he's had for smaller electronics companies, it's always his family that he's bringing with him and putting in those things and surrounding him with. And I think that's the biggest reason why he has largely stayed the same guy since arriving here in America back in 2013.
I want to stay just kind of like with Giannis for a moment. I know him being a resident of the city of Milwaukee and him being a native of Greece, has he had an opportunity? What I should say is, has he and his family had an opportunity to try any Greek food in Milwaukee?
I know he's talked about it. He's been asked about that. He goes to Greek Fest, too, which so here in Milwaukee we have a festival grounds on the lakefront, and the big event is Summerfest every year, where it's now 3 weekends, but it's basically like a Midwestern version of Coachella. It's just concerts all throughout the day. He's gone there. He used to live in that area in the Third Ward, they call it. He used to live in that area. And again, you would just see Giannis, you know, bumbling around town, downtown, right around that time in the summer, and countless people running into him and taking pictures with him. But one of the festivals they put on those same grounds is Greek Fest, and he does go to that, I believe, for the most part every year. It's been weird with the schedule at times that in the off-season, this occurs during the summer, in the off-season, he does go back to Greece quite a bit, and he'll take teammates with him as well. This year he took some of the rookies and the newcomers just to get a chance to know them more and show them, hey, that's where I came from. But he does go to Greek Fest, and, you know, it's, we saw him at the Wisconsin State Fair, too, that you think about a guy in his level going to the state fair. And, you know, he's not in the VIP area. He's just walking through the fairgrounds with his family. And, you know, he just chooses to say, I'm going to live my life, you know, normally. I don't want any of the preferential treatment. I'm going to go do the same things. And I think because of that, you know, people have respected his privacy, that if you see Giannis there, sure, you're going to take a picture with him. But it's not hounding him and people just following him everywhere he goes and you know, paparazzi style, taking pictures and posting all that, that people have been very respectful of his privacy because he's not a recluse. He's out there amongst us pretty frequently, that, you know, it seems like every week somebody will run into Giannis somewhere and post a picture, and he takes the time to take that picture or sign an autograph or whatever, that it's just been this respectful nature of, hey, I'm going to go try this out. I'm going to go to Greek Fest. I'm going to go to the State Fair. I'm going to go to Summerfest, and I'll take pictures. Well, don't make it too much, and don't take up all my time. And people have been respectful of that. So as far as a Greek establishments and restaurants, he hasn't spoken at length about any or pointed any out. I know he has gone to them, but really Greek Fest is the big thing that he makes a point to go to whenever he's in town in the off season.
You mentioned about the Wisconsin State Fair and some of the culinary, though, some of the food that's native to the state of Wisconsin are cheese curds, kielbasa, and bratwurst. Has Giannis, to your knowledge, had an opportunity to sample any of the cuisine of Wisconsin?
I would assume. I mean, I don't think he's been asked specifically about that, but anybody that has been in Wisconsin for at least a week, you have had cheese curds. So I have to assume Giannis has had it. And actually, custard is the other big thing here regionally, which it's just a thicker, richer version of ice cream, if you're unfamiliar. I know he has sampled that because when the discussion about his contract and the pending free agency came up last year, he made a joke when somebody asked him, well, you know, what's the holdup? I mean, this franchise would give you anything you wanted, so let's just go ahead and sign the deal. And he kind of joked of, I don't think the Bucks would give me anything I wanted. Like, for example, if I were to say, I want free custard every morning, do you think they would put that in the contract? The next day, Kops, which is probably the biggest of all the custard and burger stands here in Milwaukee, Kops had tweeted at Giannis and the Bucks of, hey, by the way, Giannis, free custard and free food for life if you sign a contract with us. And he did take them up, not on the for life, but he did take them up on the, I think, burger and custard a couple of days after that. So he is definitely familiar with the delicacies of Wisconsin. I think we use delicacies a little liberally there. As you pointed out, it's usually fried food, sausage, and custard are the things that we're known for. But he's definitely had his share of those.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, we've seen a lot of trios and a lot of duos and connections in the NBA. There's the Splash Brothers with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. We briefly had a trio, or what was supposed to be a trio in Brooklyn between KD, Kyrie, and Harden. It never happened, but now in Brooklyn, we've got KD and Kyrie. And in Philly, there's Harden and an Embiid. And then in Boston, you've got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, just to name a few. In Milwaukee, there's Giannis, there's Chris Middleton, and you've got Drew Holiday. How come these three are not mentioned amongst those connections that I mentioned in the NBA?
You know, it's a good question. I think part of it is the conversation we had before about Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, that, you know, those are two of the most underrated guys in the league. So when your trio is two guys that have kind of been slept on throughout their career, and then Giannis, I mean, that explains part of it. And there's just something there with Giannis and his peers in the league. I mean, he certainly has his group of guys, but, you know, we've kind of picked up on some things too of Giannis and LeBron, and Giannis and James Harden has certainly been a rivalry here in this area, that he's a guy that he's not disrespected by his peers, but he doesn't really get put in the same sentence or get the same amount of respect, I would say, that some of those other names have gotten. And I'm not quite sure why that is, other than Giannis isn't a guy that runs in those circles, as we talked about before. He kind of keeps to himself. He surrounds himself with his family and his really, really close friends and kind of isolates himself from that group. He wasn't, you know, he obviously didn't play collegiately here and wasn't in that AAU circuit. He wasn't around those players on Team USA either. So he's kind of shut himself off from those social groups, and I think that's part of it. But, you know, just the way that Chris and Drew still don't really get viewed at the level that they should across the league, I think that's a big part of it. But I will say last year went a long way in starting to turn some of those views around. They're still, I agree, not to the level where you would get mentioned with guys like Clay and Steph and, you know, obviously Kevin Durant and Kyrie now, but James Harden as well. And even now what we're starting to see with Joel Embiid and James Harden, they don't get quite that amount of attention or respect. But, you know, another deep postseason run will go a long way in changing that. If the Bucks win a championship again, you can't help but say, okay, 2 years in a row with the same group, and assuming this trio is the group that drives it, this is the best trio in the league. But you are starting to see a lot more, maybe it's not talking heads and national media landscape that are saying, hey, this is the best group. But all season long, depending on who it is you listen to and follow in the NBA circles, you know, a lot of guys, writers, and those that cover the league have said, this is the best trio in the league. So I know on paper we can say Kevin Durant and Harden and Kyrie, while they lasted, they were great, or this group that we've assembled now in Philadelphia and Phoenix. I know these are all good groups, but this trio won a championship, and this trio is the best in the league. So until somebody beats him, that's who I'm going to go with. And I think that's kind of been what we've noticed throughout the struggles early on in the season, too. You know, I wouldn't say the Bucks were going half speed, but I do think they were kind of, at times, preserving themselves for the postseason. And as much as the Bucks would struggle and some losing streaks and 500 play, and again, that losing record in the month of January, I kind of stuck by and tried to preach the same thing of, look, I trust this group and this trio of guys. I trust them in the postseason. We saw them do it last year. We saw them do it on the road. We saw them do it in tough spots. We saw them do it without Giannis the final two games of the conference finals against the Hawks. I trust this group. So until we see prolonged stretches of sub-500 play, or if we get to March and this team hasn't kicked it into another gear, then I think it's, okay, it's time to raise an eyebrow, and it's fair to be concerned. But until that happens, you just have to trust this group. And what we've seen so far, it's going to be hard to dismiss it with this 6-game win streak. What they did last week, those four wins, they went 4-0 a week ago, the first four wins of that win streak. It came against teams with a combined win percentage of 638. They beat the Hornets at home. They beat the Heat at home. They beat the Suns at home. They beat the Bulls on the road. Now you beat the Hawks and the Thunder in the two games since. So those are five teams that are going to be, at the very least, in the play-in tournament, at least playoff team. This team is, it looks like they're starting to get into postseason form. They got a brutal schedule in the month of March where they play 14 games, nine of them are on the road, and it's the toughest schedule any team has in that month of March. But so far, 5-0 in this month and a 6-game win streak all told. I mean, that's everything you were looking for. I expect this trio to really play well and this team to play better against the tougher competition, especially going into the postseason. It's exactly what they did last year at the same point on the schedule, and now they're starting to do it again, and again, it's because of those three guys. So if the Bucks go into the playoffs in, you know, the first or second seed, I think it's likely they'll finish third, but any of those three spots, they go into the postseason first, second, or third, and they go on a run like they've been on recently, you're going to start to see them get more attention and people start to bring up, yeah, I know they're third, but they won the title last year where they were also the three seed, and here's what they did in March. Here's what they did against the top 10 teams in the league. Here's what these three guys have done for the last 2 months, and that's going to bring a lot of that attention.
Well, speaking of bringing a lot of attention, I know Mike Budenholzer, what a great job he has done with the Bucks. Of course, he won NBA Head Coach of the Year with as being the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, and then after his time was over with the Hawks, he joined the Bucks in 2018, becoming the NBA Head Coach of the Year in 2019. Of course, winning and becoming an NBA champion as a head coach, he previously won NBA titles as an assistant coach. Give me your thoughts on Coach Budenholzer and the job he's done since arriving in Milwaukee.
He's been great. You know, he basically gave this team the, I guess, structure and blueprint that they were really lacking. Like Jason Kidd has done a great job so far this year with the Dallas Mavericks. And I think Jason Kidd, you know, that was his second stint as a head coach. I think Jason Kidd learned a lot after his dismissal from Milwaukee and then joining the Lakers as an assistant. It humbles you a little bit, and it forces you to change things. And I think those are kind of some of the knocks on Jason Kidd, his time here as a head coach. But there wasn't a whole lot of humility. There was maybe a little bit of arrogance, and it was his way or the highway. Now, we saw a lot of the same thing in the it's my way or bust under Coach Bud his first 2 years here in Milwaukee. But still, he came in, his structure, the assistants that he brought with him, Darvin Ham, who it's, you know, it's a marvel that every year Darvin Ham is brought up for a head coaching job across the league. He interviews for it. He just doesn't get it. One of these years, the Bucks are going to lose Darvin Ham, and it's probably going to be this offseason. Taylor Jenkins, who the job that he's doing with the Memphis Grizzlies, he was a guy that came with Bud and was basically his lieutenant on his staff his first year here. Charles Lee's a guy now that he's another guy that continues to get mentioned for head coaching jobs across the league. The Bucks are probably going to lose him in the immediate future too. But Bud just brought in that staff. He basically brought in the blueprint. And here's how we do things. Here's the structure. Here's what we're going to work on. Here's how we're going to focus on things. These are the sets that we're going to run. Here are the things that work. We're going to focus on this. These things maybe don't spend so much time on. And you saw the results immediately. I mean, when the Bucks made that change, they were in a stretch where they hadn't got out of the first round of the playoffs since 2001. And coming into that season in 2018, Bud's first year here, you know, people were just hopeful and saying, well, maybe this will push us to the next level. Not championship, but maybe this means we can have home court advantage in a first-round series, and we'll finally get out of the first round of the playoffs. They started 7-0. And, you know, in the preseason, you saw the volume of threes that they were taking. Another thing that wasn't really big under Jason Kidd, and you thought, huh, this is going to be the way they play now. They start 7-0, and then Giannis just starts to play on another level. And it was right around December. They made a trade for George Hill, too, and they just became a really good defensive team. Going into January is when people started to realize this team is – actually really good now. They're not just going to have home court advantage. Like, we should be talking about, can this team win the Eastern Conference? Those weren't the expectations externally going into Bud's first year. So he really sped up the process and got them to that next level. They went through his first and second year, made last year possible. And, you know, I talked about it after they won the championship on a couple of other shows of, you know, Bud's first 2 years here, he took them to that next step. But they fell short. They had a 2-0 lead against the Raptors in the conference finals in 2019. They lost the next four games. In 2019, in the 2019-20 season, in the playoffs, you know, who knows how much the season shutting down, the pandemic, how much that really rattled this team and changed things. But they weren't the same team once the season restarted in the bubble, and they had a really disappointing loss against Miami in the second round of the playoffs where – basically nothing went right for that team. And those 2 years, we saw a lot of kind of what I said of these are the things we do. This is all we're going to do. There wasn't a whole lot of adjustments made. And because of those failures, you had to reassess how you do things and say, okay, this is the system that works. We can't use it 100% of the time. We got to do things a little bit differently. The drop defense was mentioned a lot, and Bud's defense is one set way. We protect the rim. We saw some changes last year when they brought in Drew Holiday and they started to switch a little bit more and they didn't just do drop defense. They played zone as well. These are all little things they sprinkled in throughout the regular season and then they used again in the playoffs. Those are things they didn't do the first 2 years. Figuring out, hey, this roster construction, it doesn't work. We need another guy. And that's what prompted them to bring in Drew Holiday and that changed. So none of that happens if they don't go through those failures they did the first 2 years, where great regular season teams, they just fell short in the playoffs. That forces you to kind of look internally and reexamine things. And the Bucks did that. And because of that, they tinkered things defensively. They tinkered with some things on the offensive end. They go and trade for Drew Holiday. And that's a credit to Bud, too, for saying, okay, this didn't work. It worked in the regular season, but we got to do things differently. And, you know, especially I was most impressed with Bud in the postseason, that there was a lot riding on him last year. And I think that the Bucks would never say this, but everybody seemed to think that Bud was coaching for his job in the playoffs last year. What he did in the last four games of that series against the Nets, because they looked absolutely lost after the first two games, they changed things. Part of that was Giannis, but part of that was Bud putting him in the right spot, changing some of the defensive things. Bobby Portis, limiting where and how you utilize him in that series. What Bud did against the Hawks, too, to play different and play different defensively. How he made adjustments against the Phoenix Suns after they also went down two games to none in the finals. What Coach Budenholzer did last year in the playoffs, that's the best coaching performance he's had throughout his career. He was a guy that it was kind of hit or miss within Bucks fans here. Of after those 2 years and the disappointing exits in the playoffs, you had some fans that said, look, he just needs to change things, and he's the guy that we need to get us to the next level. You had a pretty decent amount of fans that were ready to move on from him. So all of that going on in the background, he was able to just focus on, all right, let's still utilize our strengths, but let's sprinkle in some different things. And again, he had an incredible coaching performance in the postseason, especially in those last two rounds. What he did against the Nets, he made some adjustments, but that was a lot of Giannis making some adjustments himself. And then Chris Middleton was just incredible. But those last two rounds, to fall down two games to none against the Suns, to stick with it and say, look, some of the things we did, they weren't working. But some of the things we did work. And, you know, Phoenix was shooting at a high percentage. It's some of the things we wanted them to do. We think they're going to come back to earth, and we think some of those things are going to start to sort out. They did. So for him to have the conviction to stick with, we think this is going to work, I'm not going to deviate and throw the plan out just because the Suns had two really good games, that says a lot about him, too, that, you know, I think he's kind of cemented himself. Where we talked about Giannis and Chris Middleton being two of the best, if not the two best players in franchise history when it's all said and done, Bud is going to be in that conversation as well, especially if they go deep on another postseason run this year. That right now, you know, Don Nelson is probably the best coach in Bucks franchise history, but if Bud and Larry Costello are the only two coaches that have ever won a championship in Milwaukee, and if he's here for a couple of more years, he's going to pass Don Nelson for wins and win percentage. And, you know, if he has another title or another few deep title or playoff runs, it's a sweep. He is going to be the best coach in franchise history.
All right. And, you know, you mentioned about the playoff run last season with Coach Bud. And, of course, the Bucks walked away winning the NBA championship. What was the city's response to the team winning their first title in over 50 years? I know I saw some video from downtown Milwaukee on how fans were present, and a lot of the businesses were revitalized as a result of that. So what was the fans' response to the team winning their first title in over 50 years, and how has downtown come alive since the Bucks have won the championship?
It's been, not to overuse the word, but it's been incredible. I had a chance to be a part of the parade last year and just seeing the turnout for that. So also, the Bucks were fortunate last year, too, that the Fiserv Forum's been around for a couple of years. It's right next to where the Bradley Center used to be. It's since been demolished, but they have all of this open real estate around Fiserv Forum that is in the process of being developed. You have a couple of restaurants and bars. There's a hotel that's going in, a couple, but one that's close to being done next to the arena, and a few other things that are going to be developed. But last summer, you know, that was still pretty open, and it was basically a construction site. So the Bucks marketing group decided, hey, let's screen the game outside the arena. So if you don't have tickets to the conference finals, it started all throughout the playoffs, but it started to expand. You can come down to the Deer District, as they call it, and you can watch the game on screens outside the arena, and you know, we'll set up bars and other things along there. So we would do some pep rallies before games all throughout the playoffs, and it was myself and a couple of other people, Marcus Johnson, Jim Paskey, the TV broadcasters for the Bucks last year, and Melanie Ricks, who I did a digital show with on Bucks.com, and she's the in-arena host for the Bucks, and actually just hosted the All-Star game as well. But we would do these pep rallies, and you know, during the Heat series in the opening round, there was a sparse showing of fans. It was a first-round series. There was a lot of anxiety about that Heat series last year, just because that's the team that eliminated the Bucks the year prior. And once the Bucks got through that and beat the Heat, it was a celebration towards the end of that series. What was inevitable, they're going to win this series, and they're going to do it in a sweep in the second round series. You saw more and more fans starting to show up with the Brooklyn Nets. And when the Bucks were down 2-0, the feeling before game 3, because that's when it shifted back to Milwaukee, there was a lot of nervous anxiety in the crowd. It was a pretty big turnout, but there was this anxiety of, if we lose tonight, it's probably over. So once the Bucks won that game, you saw more and more fans start to turn up. And game 7 against the Nets, we did our pep rally. It's a road game, so everybody is showing up just to watch this game outside on TV monitors. There was at least 20,000 people outside the arena, because it was when we took the stage, a sea of people that extended all the way back to where the Bradley Center used to be. And when the Bucks won the game, we're inside the arena calling off of monitors. And as soon as they won, you could hear the TVs that were feeding outside were on a bit of a delay. When Kevin Durant airballed that final shot, a second or two later, you could just hear from within Fiserv Forum, we could hear an eruption outside the arena of 20,000 plus fans that were out there celebrating and people coming down. I mean, I would leave the arena hours after the game had ended from post-game responsibilities and a post-game show we do in Milwaukee, and there are still people in that district center going to bars and celebrating outside. It was the same thing in the conference finals where the Bucks closed out the Hawks on the road, and seeing fireworks go off from inside the arena and seeing the amount of people that came down there when they were in the finals. And when they came back in the fashion they did, game 6 in Milwaukee, the Brandon Jennings prophecy of Bucks in 6 was certainly prevalent throughout it as well. But it just felt like this is going to happen today. It's going to be Bucks winning the series in 6 games, and it's against the Phoenix Suns. And when we went to do that same pregame pep rally show, they had us do it on the stage that they had set up where the championship parade actually was. They had set it up in advance just in case they won and they were ready for it. So we went to that stage. It was me and Marcus Johnson. And getting on that stage, it was an actual festival stage that you see at music concerts. And it was at least 100,000 people that were out there in the crowd. And walking on that stage and seeing that many people waiting for you, we're really waiting for Marcus Johnson, but waiting for you to just get out there and say something and just excited and waiting for this game to start. I mean, it was a buzz and an atmosphere like I can't even describe. This, for so long in this state, the Bucks were kind of the forgotten team. The Packers are always going to be number one in this state just because of, you know, the local ties and how it's a small town, Green Bay, and everything there, and the championships and the history that the Packers have. The Brewers are another team that just baseball carries a lot of importance here in Wisconsin. The Bucks kind of suffered from that and from the fact that they weren't really relevant or good for large stretches of their existence outside of the 80s when they were really good but could never get to the next level. They kind of tailed off. To see this fan base reinvigorated and to see you couldn't find very many Bucks fans or people interested in the Bucks outside of Milwaukee in this state, to see how much that has changed even prior to the NBA championship, but to see the amount of people that were coming down just to be a part of the experience. They didn't even have tickets to the game. They just wanted to be in that area outside of the arena and celebrate with fellow Bucks fans. You can't describe it unless you experienced it. And then the parade, you know, 2 days after they won the title, I never thought, I grew up in the area, I grew up a Bucks fan, I never thought I would see this team win a championship. So to see them going through the city and the amount of turnout that you had, it was amazing. And, you know, this state has kind of joked. They've been cursed with sports, that they will come so close. The amount of times, 5 times, that the Packers have been in an NFC championship game since the Super Bowl and lost. each of those times. The Brewers, a really good team again last year in a couple of deep postseason runs, but ultimately falling short. I think it's three straight times the Brewers have made the playoffs and lost to the team that ended up winning the World Series or going to the World Series. And the Bucks, you know, the 2019 run, to be up two games to none in the finals and lose – or conference finals and lose four straight. People just started to think, man, I don't know what it is, but our state is cursed when it comes to sports teams. And when the Bucks won on the road in Brooklyn, you started to get a sense of – because they had never won a Game 7 on the road before prior to that either. When they won that game, you started to get a sense, you know, I think something's different here. Giannis gets injured in the conference finals, and it looked like not only is his season done, we thought he was going to be done for all of this year, the way that knee injury looked. And the Bucks still close out the Hawks and win two straight games without Giannis and win Game 6 on the road. But going into the finals, I think everybody in Wisconsin, as good as the Suns look, they were very confident. This is different. There's something about this team that's different, and this is going to be a different experience. And then once Giannis announced he's coming back and he's playing in Game 1, it just put everything over the top that, you know, last year you can't describe it with one word or one phrase. There's so much about it that was so special. And again, I think, you know, things like what we had talked about before, the losses prior to that under Bud, all of that just made it so much more special, those things. The lack of relevancy the franchise had for so long, the fact that until Bud arrived, they went 20 years without winning in the first round. All of these things combined just made it such an incredible experience. And once you go through that and you're that close and see a team win a championship, you obviously want to win every year, but you start to recognize when other teams have that too. When the Raptors eliminated the Bucks, and you know you were so mad. I didn't even watch the finals that year because you were so close to being there and it was taken away from you. But you know, retroactively, you can look at that once you get your championship and experience it and say, you know, good for them. I want every single fan base to experience this because it was such an incredible feeling and just such an incredible experience and ride to go through that postseason.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Justin Garcia. He is the studio host for the Milwaukee Bucks. Justin, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. This was awesome. Tell everybody what you do with your studio host duties with the Bucks.
Yeah, you can studio host with the Bucks. You can hear me on the Bucks Radio Network. We do the pregame show with myself, Dave Kane, and Ben Brust. And updates on halftime, post-game as well. And then I also work for WTMJ in Milwaukee. It's our flagship Bucks station. So we do various Bucks shows throughout the week, a Bucks post-game show as well after all the network responsibilities. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome. And where can people find you on social media as well as WTMJ, the Milwaukee Bucks? And if there are any websites that you have, let them know that as well.
Yeah, on Twitter, it's at TMJ Garcia. We do some digital things for the Bucks, just Bucks.com. And there's a Bucks SoundCloud page as well where we post some of our interviews and post-game things of that nature. So anything on WTMJ, Twitter, and Bucks.com, the easiest place to get in contact.
Awesome, and you heard it from him. He is Justin Garcia. He is the studio host for the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network, and also he works for WTMJ in Milwaukee, WTMJ 620 AM in Milwaukee. Justin, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us, and if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Yeah, anytime, Ed. Good to catch up with you.
Same here, my man. We'll be back with more right after this.
Highly rated spot-up shooter, Herder. He has hurt the Bucks.
And a lob play, first possession, and Giannis throws it down. Gallinari, that one really now. The thing with Trae Young, is he going to do the lob pass, or is he going to do the floating shot? There's Giannis just muscling his way, willing his way in for two, if you will.
But watch the matchup here. Gallinari stuck on the backside, and you know, he's trying to do everything within his power. Gallinari had to give after the initial contact. He was pushed back about 3 feet.
Backdoor look again. Oh, wow, Giannis. My goodness, Giannis.
Initially, when that left Chris's hands, I thought that was a bad pass. I thought that thing was going to sail clearly out of bounds.
Oh, Chuck Pity in Milwaukee.
And establish himself Watch how high Giannis goes up. That's like right at the top of the square.
Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
We can tell you exactly why Bombas socks, T-shirts, and underwear are so comfortable. We can talk about our soft fabrics, or how we donate one item for every item you buy. But we think our customers said it best, so we hired some professional voice actors to read real customer reviews.
Bum diggities on my pickies.
It's like being hugged by an angel.
I borrowed a pair from my son and didn't want to give them back.
Give an item when you buy an item and get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/comfy. That's bombas.com/comfy.
Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
When so much of life is about the big moments, it's the details in the all-new 2022 Grand Wagoneer that makes the small moments truly special. Take joy in American premium design with available walnut trims and technology, like the available 23-speaker Macintosh Reference Entertainment System, and with seating for up to 8, no detail is overlooked, because it's the details that make every journey grand. The Grand Wagoneer, Grand Adventures Return. Wagoneer is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Hi, I'm Randy, and this is Dave.
We're the founders of Bombas, the most comfortable socks in the history of feet.
So comfortable, we sold and donated millions of pairs.
To sell and donate a lot of socks, we became obsessed with comfort.
We reinvented the sock from the ground up, adding comfort innovations along the way.
It worked. People tried them, loved them, told their friends about them.
Helping us sell and donate millions of pairs.
Try them now at bombas.com/comfy and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/comfy.
Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
When so much of life is about the big moments, it's the details in the all-new 2022 Grand Wagoneer that makes the small moments truly special. Take joy in American premium design with available walnut trims and technology, like the available 23-speaker Macintosh Reference Entertainment System, and with seating for up to 8, no detail is overlooked, because it's the details that make every journey grand. The Grand Wagoneer, Grand Adventures Return. Wagoneer is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
With bills to pay and debt piling up, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. Personal loans through NetCredit can provide funding up to $10,000 to help you get back on track financially if eligible. Our secure application process allows you to customize the terms that work for you and your budget. So check your eligibility today without affecting your credit score and help get your finances back on track. NetCredit, a more personal loan. All NetCredit loans and lines of credit are offered by a member of the NetCredit family of companies or one of our lending partners. Visit netcredit.com/partners for more information.
Allison Landry was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.
All right. right, everybody. Once again, a big special thank you to Justin Garcia. Justin is a host for the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network and WTMJ AM 620 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Again, thank you to Justin for giving us currently the latest happenings with the Milwaukee Bucks. Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and so much more happening with the Milwaukee Bucks. Until next time, I'm Ed Robinson. Remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
Join Planet Fitness now through March 16th and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment and $22.99 a month. You'll enjoy an upgraded experience with tons of perks.
Like access to more than 2,000 locations worldwide?
Yep.
Super soothing hydro massage chairs?
Yes.
Can I bring a friend every time?
Sure.
Can my friend be a horse?
Nay. Sorry. Get the PF Black Card and feel fit-tacular. Zero enrollment, $22.99 a month. Deal ends March 16th. See club for details.
Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge.